Easter Sunday is an appropriate time to consider how great our Savior is and what a precious privilege it is to know Him. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul expresses the inner hunger of his soul, the real purpose of his life, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Paul desired to know the Lord Jesus. That is not just a matter of information. There are countless people in this world who know about Christ. They have heard of Him, they know Christians worship Him, and they are at a safe distance from all of that, untouched by that knowledge. The knowledge has not changed them at all. But for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to Him and realized what He has done on Calvary, dying in the place of that believer, shedding His blood, enduring the suffering, that that believer might not have to suffer himself. For the believer, it's a tremendous thing to know Him and understand what that means, that he is washed in the blood of the Lamb, that he is now forever released from the fear of death and hell, and he can go through life with peace of mind and serenity, knowing that his Lord and Savior is fully able to take care of him and bring him safely before his presence in glory. If you do not know that, friends, that means you are outside of Christ. And there is no hope for you except in the Savior. I invite you today to consider that it is well for you to turn your back upon your sins and to fix your gaze upon the Lord Jesus and to find out for yourself why Christians trust Him and love Him and live for Him. In John 17 and verse 25, the Lord Jesus brings His high priestly prayer for His own to a conclusion by addressing His heavenly Father. In verse 24, He prays, "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and have known that Thou hast sent Me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them." Ah, yes, the Lord Jesus, the divine Son of God, co-equal with the Father, understands perfectly the love of His heavenly Father. They have shared that love for all eternity and will continue to share it throughout eternity to come. The Lord Jesus came to earth to manifest that love of His Father toward men. And when you consider the life of Christ, the deeds that He did, going about healing the sick, raising the dead, comforting the sorrowing, saving the lost, you consider what He did. He was manifesting the love of His heavenly Father, for He was doing the will of His Father day by day, manifesting that gracious kindness and love to all that He met, and He was treated so shamefully. Friends, it's a sad thing when people are ungrateful. But when the ingratitude extends to Almighty God Himself, it's a sin, not just ingratitude. The Lord Jesus loved us enough to sacrifice Himself that we might be rescued. The normal response for any human being in a place of danger is to reach out to a hand that is stretched for him and to seize it, to save himself from a fate that he desires very much to avoid. There are countless people on earth who know about Jesus and turn away. They know what Christians teach about His saving grace, but they have never experienced it and have no intentions of experiencing it. They look to themselves and walk blindly down a pathway that leads to certain death. This is very sad for the world, but for believers, they can testify that they heard the invitation of the Lord, and they turned to the Lord Jesus and asked Him by His mercy and grace to save them from their sins, to wash those vile sins away, that He might transform them into children of God that could dwell in His presence. And every believer can testify for himself that he has found the Lord true to His word. Those who trust in Him are indeed cleansed from their sin, not by their deeds, but by His deed alone. And they have found out the love of God because they know Him. If any of you are still a stranger to the Lord Jesus and don't know Him, I invite you today to reconsider. This is a very important thing, that you recognize what the Lord Jesus has done for you. And if you turn away, you will have all eternity to grieve over such a foolish decision. In Romans chapter 11, dropping down to verse 34, Paul gives an explanation concerning the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. And he asks in verse 34, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord? And who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again?" Ah, yes, there isn't anybody in that category. Who has truly fathomed the infinite depths of the mind of God? There's not a single human being who's ever lived who has succeeded in that. Because God is not like a man. God is an infinite being. He has always existed. He always will exist. And He holds in His mind, we may speak reverently, all the deeds that have happened since His creation, all that exists in this world right now, and all that will exist all the way to the end of time, when it shall be fulfilled and He will bring it to an end with all the people that He has chosen to be with Him, and they will be with Him forever. Friends, He has all that planned out, and He knows every last one. Now, that is beyond us. We can't even imagine how any being, God or otherwise, would have such information, such ability to cause events as to bring everything to a proper consummation. And every last person will have what he most wants. for those who don't want God, they will be away from God in a lake of fire. And for those who want God, they will be in His presence in a glorious place, prepared for God, His angels, and His people. Friends, the Lord has all that fixed in His mind, if we may speak reverently. He knows precisely what He is doing. And for us, the most blessed thing that we can do is to come before His presence and thank Him for sending His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die that we might be saved, that we might be washed in the blood of the Lamb, our sins washed away, that through Christ He might bring us into the presence of His Heavenly Father and present us faultless before Him. Not because we're like that, but because He is like that. He cleanses the sinful. He transforms sinners into saints. And He gives them as His gift to His Father. Friends, that's a marvelous idea that only God could have thought of. We would not have written that scenario. According to human thought, people earn their way. If they want to be good, they work at it. They want to be rich, they work at it. They earn their way. And here's one thing that they can never earn: the presence of God. It is beyond price. There is not a thing that any person can do to earn that. But He instead gives it as a gift to all those who will receive His dear Son as their Savior, claim Him as the forgiveness of their sins, and the blood of Calvary blots out every one, and they are saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Only God would think of that. And that is the only pathway into the presence of God. There are no others. All other roads lead to self-effort and total defeat. That I may know Him. Yes. Here is the great pleasure that begins in this life: to know the love of God, to know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins here. And we have faulty thinking processes, and we don't always get things straight. We go back over Scripture and we learn of things that we had missed before and hadn't seen before. And yes, we keep learning because of our limitations here. But He is working all things to the point where those limitations will be done away. And when we stand in His presence, we will realize fully how great He is and how much He has done for us and how much His love means to sinners who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 2:16 asks a rhetorical question: for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? And then he answers it: but we have the mind of Christ. The only person who fully comprehends the greatness of salvation in Christ is Christ Himself. He is the only human being who understands completely what God has done for the salvation of mankind. But we have the mind of Christ. No, it's not omniscience. No, we don't have that power. We never will. But we have the possibility of the devotion to His Father that the Lord Jesus manifested in his life and in his death. We have known by reading Scripture what Christ did for us, going to the cross to suffer inexpressible agony, that we might be forgiven, that we might be released from the penalty of sin. And we understand that. The big question is, have we come to the foot of the cross, not just as someone who has information, someone who intellectually understands Christianity, but have we come as a poor, guilty sinner, asking the Lord to wash away our sins, to cleanse the guilt that we have because of that sin, and to let him transform us from sinners into saints by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to get to heaven. You're not going to earn it. You're not going to pay your way. No one is. The only people who come into the presence of God are those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and have asked him to bring them there. That is the only way anybody ever gets to heaven. The Lord Jesus has almighty power to change, to save, to cleanse, to transform. And he can do just that. To bring the guilty sinner, washed in his blood, into the presence of his Father, and pronounce the fact that he belongs to him. That's everything. You have no friends in glory who could somehow get you into the presence of God. There's only one person who can do that, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He died that he might have all authority in heaven and on earth. And if you ask him to save you, he can do it. And he can bring you into the presence of his Father and present you faultless before the throne of his glory. He's the only one who can accomplish that. My friends, if you don't know him as Savior, and you're coming to church today as a pious act, somehow to earn favor with God, recognize you'll never make it. The Lord Jesus Christ alone has the power to bring people into the presence of his Father. The only way that you can get there is to come to the foot of the cross and recognize that you are a poor, lost sinner, without hope, without any pathway to glory. The Lord Jesus loved you enough to cleanse you from your sins and to bring you into his presence. That is the one pathway to heaven. There are no alternatives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul says something most thought-provoking. If any man love God, the same is known by him. Now in verse 2 he had said, if any man think that he knows anything, he doesn't know anything yet. If you are self-confident, if you think you can outwit God, if you think you can accomplish things that no one else can, you're going to be sadly disappointed. You don't know anything yet. But the pathway, if any man love God, if there is a response in your heart of love toward a God who would sacrifice his dear Son that you might come into his presence, if you understand that, now there's hope for you. If any man love God, the same is known of him. If there is a responding chord in your heart of love toward God for what he has done in Christ, now God knows you. Not just information. He's always had that. Now he knows you as a person in his Son. Now you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And until you have that relationship, he does not know you as a child of God. He knows you exist. But there's an infinite gulf between you and him. But when you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, now you are brought within the veil. Now you are in the presence of the Father. Now the Father knows you as his child, cleansed in the blood of his dear Son, filled with the Spirit of God, and one whom he is caring for and will bring into his presence. Now, every one of us must ponder that thought. We don't know God in the absolute. We don't have those minds that can grasp all that. But we can know God as one who loves us so much that he sent his Son to die that we might come to him. That's infinite love. And even though that's formidable, we can understand that. It is way beyond us. But still, we know what that kind of love would mean. That I may know him. Friends, that's a very important thing to come to know God. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, Paul prays for believers. In verse 18, that they may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ, the love that sent him to the cross to die with infinite agony, that you might be saved. And the result of that kind of knowledge is that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. For that kind of knowledge makes you one with Christ. And the Father himself loves you. And the love of God permeates your very being. That is a knowledge that intellect cannot comprehend. Only love can comprehend that. In verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He is thinking of the God who is ordering all things for the benefit of his people, bringing them by his grace into his presence to dwell in endless ages in glory and blessing in his presence. And Paul is praising God that he's one of those people. And every believer in the Lord Jesus who trusts in him for salvation is in that same spot, washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved by the love of God, infinite love, and we know him by faith. He sacrificed his Son that we might come into his presence, infinite love of God himself. Remember Christ's promise in John 14:15. Because I live, ye shall live also. Because Christ conquered death, rose from the grave, demonstrated to all that he was the living Lord, who could not be touched by death, could not be held by the chains of darkness. He crushed them all. He arose in living power. at the right time ascended again to his Father, and will one day summon his people into his presence, the Lord of life, the Lord of heaven. He is everything to believers. If you understand that, you're going to live also. But there must be submission to that great King. In John 16:27, the Lord said, "The Father himself loves you because you have loved me." Yes, the Father is watching every believer, and he sees when that person trusts in his dear Son. The Father loves that individual also, because the Father has always loved the Son. And when we add our fragile love to that, the infinite love of God is pleased, and a bond is there. It pleased the Father to save those who believe in his Son. He is happy in that thought. In John 17:3, the great high priestly prayer, Jesus prayed, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Life eternal, that they might know thee. Friends, there are people in this world who congratulate themselves on being such experts that they have a certain field of their interest that they have studied with such determined persistence that they're a world-renowned authority in that field. Whatever that may be, they have learned everything possible to know, and they're confident that they have a grasp of whatever that field is. And of course, it varies from one to the other. But there's not a single human being who has that grasp of the nature of God, because he is in a higher realm, infinitely above where we are here. And a so-called expert in whatever the field is here is a feeble candle compared to the blinding glory of heavenly splendor that is God. There's nobody who is an authority there. Only the Lord Jesus among men understands fully how glorious his heavenly Father is. However, knowing God in as small a way as we do brings us into submission to him when we know he is not just a great ruler of all, but a loving Father to those who trust him. When we understand that, we have come to a submission to God and turn over the reins of our life into his hands, that he might direct us, that he might accomplish his purpose through us, because we aren't great enough to figure out what that is, much less accomplish all that. But he is. And in doing that, we discover what a loving, cherishing Heavenly Father he is, who would guide our steps in this world, bring us into his presence in the next, prepare a place of incredible splendor that we might live in forever, a place so wonderful that there will never be a dull moment. I think people wonder about that. You know, as a Christian, I would like sometime to meet the Apostle Paul, to be able to thank him for the epistles. I'd like to see all of the apostles and tell them all how much I appreciate their ministries. But there are an awful lot of people in church history that I would like to personally meet. Luther, Calvin, Wesley, the martyrs and saints of all ages. An awful lot of people there. Fascinating people. What do you think we're going to be doing for all those millions of years? Sitting in some corner of heaven? Meditating? No. There's a fellowship of the saints. They're all going to know one another. You won't have to go around shaking hands, introducing yourself. They're all going to know you. Everybody there will know you. And you're going to know all of them. You're part of the family. There are no strangers in a family. And we haven't grasped that. What a tremendous eternity that will be to know these people and know what they have suffered for the Lord and how much they have accomplished for the Lord. And every last person that you've ever pointed to the Lord will be there looking for you to say thank you. Friends, we have no comprehension of what eternity is going to be like. It's not a solitary passing of ages, but a fellowship of the saints, a loving association with marvelous people that we haven't met yet, who will be very happy to see us. And the fellowship will go on for endless ages in the presence of a God who delights in blessing his people. That I may know him. That's everything, absolutely everything for the believer. To know the Lord Jesus, to have the sins washed away, to be sure of a place in heaven because of him, not because of us. To recognize the greatness of his salvation because of the greatness of his love, and to think that we shall share that love forever and forever, that I may know him. Friends, where do you stand in the knowledge of God? Do you know him? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you aren't sure that you are a Christian, will you seize this opportunity right now? And in your heart, address the Lord Jesus and tell him that you know you are a guilty sinner and have no hope of heaven, but you have heard that he died for you and that his blood can wash away sin and make you right with God. And if you haven't done that before now, will you do that right now? And ask him to blot out your sins by the blood of the Lamb, that you might know the forgiveness and love of God, that you might be sure of that eternal life that he offers to all those who know the Lord Jesus as Savior and are trusting in him alone. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt touch hearts this day, and that if they have not come to thee, that they will this day choose thee and ask thee for that salvation in Christ, that their sins may be blotted out under the blood of the Lamb, and that they may, through all eternity, have the joy and privilege of living in thy presence, in the midst of thy people, in perfect peace, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Hear us, Lord, for his sake. Amen.